Beach, 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. 17 days from Election Day, Vice President Kamala Harris visiting a Get Out the Vote event in Detroit.
We're going to go vote today. We're going to remind people to vote. We're going to register folks to vote. We're going to email, text, phone call, knock on doors.
She'll be in Atlanta later while former President Trump campaigns in Latrobe, Pennsylvania. Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin told reporters at a G7 defense meeting in Italy the U.S. wants Israel to scale back strikes in Lebanon. He also noted a sharp decline in the amount of humanitarian aid entering Gaza. Meanwhile, Hezbollah launched drones from Lebanon into Israel. One of them targeted Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu's personal residence. He was not there, but called it an assassination attempt. And Boeing says the strike Boeing machinists say the latest offer is worth considering. They'll vote Wednesday. It could end the five-week strike. This is ABC News. More than 7 years after two young girls, Libby German and Abby Williams, were killed hiking in Delphi, Indiana, the trial of Richard Allen, the man accused of their murders, is now underway. ABC's Alex Perez has more from Delphi.
In court, prosecutors saying that after the teens crossed that bridge, they noticed a man behind them. At 2:13 p.m., Libby, recording on her phone, capturing video allegedly showing the suspect. The man, investigators say, pulling out a gun and ordering the girls down the hill, heard in this chilling audio. But the defense raising questions about DNA evidence and arguing cell phone records show Allen had left the area by 2:15 p.m.
Federal judge delayed an order requiring Google to open its Android app store to more competition. It's on hold until an appeals court decides the fate of the decision because of legal questions surrounding the verdict that called Google an illegal monopolist. I'm Brian Clark, ABC News.
I'm James Kelly with WBZH News. Your news roundup in quick podcast form. Find it anytime on the WBZH website at buzzofthenorth.com.
The Todd Alba Show.
Minority Rule. The author is Ari Berman.
If you look back at Wisconsin history, it gave rise to Social Security and unemployment insurance and collective bargaining. It really personified the idea that no matter what political party you were with, government should work for the common good. And Walker had a very different idea, that government should work for this conservative elite instead.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2, on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. The Maggie Dawn Show.
Christina Reynolds of Emily's List. Donald Trump had a quasi-town hall.
There were two questions, one on abortion and one on IVF. What he did was claim he just wanted the states to get to decide, and it is a lie. When they call it a national minimum standard, they are saying, we want the federal government to get to decide and not you.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. The candidates for U.S. Senate in Wisconsin have starkly different views on reproductive rights. Democratic incumbent Tammy Baldwin and Republican challenger Eric Hovde debated Friday night. Hovde says Wisconsin and all 50 states should decide for themselves.
I think we as a state should resolve this issue with a referendum where everybody gets a right to vote. The voters get a right to vote. I get a right to vote.
Baldwin says the better way is to codify Roe v. Wade nationwide.
Your rights and freedoms should not depend on your zip code or the state in which you live.
The race has tightened, and the outcome in Wisconsin could determine the balance of power in the entire U.S. Senate. Senator Baldwin has accused Eric Hovde of saying single parenthood leads to poverty and drug addiction. Here's Tricia Young with a Wisconsin Watch fact check.
Hovde, who was running against Tammy Baldwin, was criticized in a Baldwin ad for allegedly suggesting single motherhood leads to household poverty or drug addiction. Hovde said children, quote, born out of wedlock, unquote, face a, quote, direct path to poverty, unquote, citing studies linking single-parent households to higher drug rates. Studies support this correlation, particularly among low-income households. I'm Tricia Young for Wisconsin Watch. Learn more at wisconsinwatch.org.
And this is Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell.
local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. For today, chance of showers with a high near 66. For tonight, partly cloudy, a low around 48. Sunday, sunshine and breezy with highs in the mid-70s. Sunday night, mostly clear, a low of 51. For Monday, mostly sunny and highs around 74.
It's 64 at our studios.
Maggie Dawn.
Next, I've got Michael Sozan, Senior Fellow for Democracy Policy at the Center for American Progress Action Fund. We're going to discuss Trump's attacks on democracy. Don't miss it.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekday afternoons from 2 till 4.
You're listening to The Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Matt and Air on Air.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Hello, folks. This is Attorney Mark Thompson. This is your Paul Revere Show. We are here on Civic Media every Saturday at 3 p.m. Always trying to move the state forward. And, folks, we have a really special treat, and I'm super honored to have our Attorney General Josh Call with us today. Hello, Attorney General Call. How are you?
Good, good. Thanks for having me on the show, Mark.
We're coming up to a very, very significant day, November 5th, 2024. We've got major elections. And, you know, earlier, I think on October 14th, you put out a press release talking about election interference, voter intimidation, protecting election workers. And I thought, here we are on the eve of this major day. We would get you on the air talking in person about what it is and why the Attorney General cares about voter intimidation.
Yeah, well, thanks for raising this important topic. So, you know, I think, first of all, it's important to just note where we are in history. You know, we have a long tradition in this country of free and fair elections. And we know that in Wisconsin, our elections are safe and secure. And we know that for a number of reasons, primarily because they've been challenged over and over again. In 2016, we had a statewide recount. In 2020, we had recounts of our two largest counties. There was a so-called investigation by Michael Gableman. There's been litigation. And over again, what that has shown is that our system works. Despite that, there have been a lot of bad faith claims that there are problems with our system. Now, look, in any system, you can always work to improve it. But fundamentally, our system works and it's secure and the outcomes reflect the will of the voters. But in 2020, we were concerned that there would be intimidation of voters at the polls. There was a lot of concerning political rhetoric. So we made clear early on that if there was intimidation, people were going to be held accountable. Now, fortunately, there wasn't in 2020. The things that took place at the polls went smoothly. But we want to make sure again in 2024 that we've got a smooth process in place. So we've again made clear that intimidation is a crime. We also have had this concerning rise in threats towards election officials. And Wisconsin has not been isolated in avoiding those. We've had concerning statements made about our election officials. And so we also want to make clear that if you criminally threaten election officials, you need to expect to be held accountable. We want to make sure that the process goes as smoothly as possible because that is foundational to our democracy. This is about making sure that the will of the voters prevails in our election. And we're absolutely committed to making sure that's the case as it has been for generations in this country.
I'm glad you sort of put it in the historical context. I was the chair of the Wisconsin Elections Commission in 2016 when we had the statewide recount. And, you know, the world press showed up in Madison and they wanted to know what, you know, the election really looked at. And, you know, and I said, we're going to do this recount and we're going to prove that President Trump won and that there was no fraud in Wisconsin, and that the elections in Wisconsin are fair, secure, you know, with all the integrity in the world. You can trust your neighbors to count your ballots and do it fairly. And that's what happened. The recount came and the press disappeared. And the transition of power passed, even though it was so, so close. There wasn't any challenge to what had happened. And it just went, it was on cruise control. And the at that time, the election commission actually was functioning pretty much as nonpartisan, even though it was a partisan agency. Now, that reality pretty much stayed the same until we got to November of 2020 and Trump lost. And then all of a sudden, we had all these attacks on election officials. What is it about the Attorney General's office that people can count on in terms of relying on your office and your relationship with not only other state agencies, but federal agencies to know that this election is going to be smooth?
Well, one of our priorities at the Wisconsin Department of Justice is to protect the fundamental rights of Wisconsinites. And one of those is our right to vote. You know, the lifeblood of our democracy is the right to vote. And making sure that the results reflect the will of the voters is critical. And, you know, since I've been in office, we have had challenge after challenge to all sorts of aspects of our election system. You know, there was an attempt to remove tens of thousands of voters from the voter rolls in Wisconsin, and we defended against that attempt, and we won. There was the effort to overturn the results of the 2020 election. There were multiple lawsuits that were brought. Again, we won those cases. There have been other challenges to the rules that are in place. You know, there's the ongoing effort to try to remove the administrator of the Wisconsin Election Commission. We filed suit the day that the Senate took the lawless vote to try to remove her, and we quickly got an order making clear that she is the person who's rightfully in that office. You know, I was proud to be one of the lawyers representing the governor in fighting for fair maps. And so for the first time in over a decade, we're going to have an election with fair maps in our state legislature this year. And when Michael Gableman went after people, we stood up to him, and eventually that investigation was shut down. Even Robin Voss came around to the reality that investigation was a mistake. So we have a long track record at the Department of Justice of fighting for people's rights and defending the right to vote. And we're committed to doing that. We're going to do it in a way that is even-handed and is focused on the facts and the law. But where there is a basis for either bringing an investigation or potentially a prosecution if we're involved in that way, or if there's clarity that needs to be provided, we're going to be engaged. And likewise, if there are attempts to overturn the results of the election this year, and certainly there's reason to think there might be again, we're going to defend the results. And I will tell you right now that I'm very confident we're going to win those in court, because the system we have works. It has withstood the test of time. It's withstood legal challenges. And, you know, I'm confident that the results in court are going to be the same that they have been. Now, I do think there's one aspect of this election that we should be prepared for that's a little different than I think what folks were prepared for before, which is in 2020, there was this effort to challenge the results in court. But then subsequently, there was an effort to block certification in Congress. I think it's possible that we will see legal challenges brought again, not necessarily with the likelihood that they will win in the courts. I'm confident they won't, but to tee up a challenge in Congress. And so I think it's vitally important, not only that folks like me and other people in the state are talking about the effectiveness of our election system, but we've got to make sure that members of Congress are going to uphold the results and aren't going to suggest baselessly that the results shouldn't be certified or should be thrown out. This is about the fundamentals of our democracy, and it is a bare minimum to expect that our members of Congress are going to vote to certify the results. And I hope that they are all asked about that, and I hope they all commit to doing that.
You know, one thing that, you know, that people may be wondering, back in 2016, there were there was talk, you know, in terms of attempts by foreign countries, including, you know, Russian hackers trying to, you know, mess with the election. To the extent that one can talk about it, because I know you work with the feds and Homeland Security, how does that look this time around in 2024?
Well, first, let me just talk about the process that's in place. One of the good things in 2020 is that the federal agencies that were involved in protecting the election did a really good job. The impact of the Trump administration didn't reach that far in terms of interference with the appropriate processes. And we saw folks like Chris Krebs being clear about the results of the election. Donald Trump then fired him. But we had a coordinated effort with federal agencies, state agencies, to make sure that we were on guard to protect our elections. I'm confident that that's going to happen again. The Department of Justice, through our Division of Criminal Investigation, oversees the Wisconsin Statewide Intelligence Center. It's a fusion center that works to bring together information of all different kinds about threats to the safety and security of Wisconsinites. And one of those areas we look to is our election system. We know that there are foreign actors that want to interfere with the system. As you mentioned, there were concerns in 2016. There were concerns again in 2020. And you know, I think there's going to be efforts again in 2024. Now, the efforts that we have seen are things like efforts to use bots on social media to sow division. I think those are things that people need to be aware may be happening, and you know, being thoughtful about what you're reading online and where it may be coming from is important. But on top of that, you know, we also want to make sure that the fundamentals of our election system itself are protected. And there, we have really good mechanisms in place to protect the process. In Wisconsin, we also have a built-in mechanism, as you know well, Mark, which is we've got about 1,850 local clerks who administer elections at the local level. And so we have a very decentralized system, and that's an important safeguard because it would make it very difficult for somebody to interfere with our elections at a fundamental level, because we're getting results municipality by municipality from 1,850 different locations. And so the system we have is one that has held up, and I'm confident it's going to again.
Folks, this is your Paul Revere Show. This is Attorney Mark Thompson. I am here with Attorney General Josh Call, and we're focused today on how to protect elections, how to make sure there isn't voter intimidation. And you've just heard that the Attorney General and the staff is there making sure that the infrastructure is protected. Folks, we'll be right back with more from the Attorney General.
You're listening to the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Out here in the middle of all these acres, it can feel like you're the only person on earth. And sometimes that's how it feels when you're going through tough times. Trouble sleeping, your mind racing. So what do? We get help. There are people in our community who are here for us. Sometimes just talking to someone can make all the difference in the world. Find more information at loveyourmindtoday.org. That's loveyourmindtoday.org. Brought to you by the Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ad Council.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Carl Sarecki from Door County Trolley. Have you ever lost anybody on one of the tours?
The question really isn't did you lose people or did you gain them? True story, one of our drivers.
So he gets home, picked up a spirit along the tour.
Yeah, he's in bed, and then all of a sudden the treadmill starts up on him.
See, if I were a ghost, I think I would just get liposuction. I don't think I would mess around with cardio.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
You're listening to the Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Nightlight with Peach Wabba.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Hello,
folks.
Hello, folks. This is attorney Mark Thompson. This is your Paul Revere show. This is Civic Media Radio Network broadcasting across Wisconsin every Saturday at 3 p.m. I hope you're all jumping around. Go Wisconsin. And when I say go, it's forward, not backwards. I'm delighted to have Attorney General Josh Call here talking to us all about how to make sure we have safe, secure elections on November 5th, 2024. You talk about voter intimidation and threats to election workers. So how do you define that, and how do you have your staff set up to work with law enforcement around the state to make sure that we have secure and safe elections?
Well, first, the definition for what constitutes illegal voter intimidation is set out in Wisconsin statutes, and it's very fact specific. It's things like causing somebody to be in duress in a way that interferes with their exercise of the right to vote. There are also federal laws relating to voter intimidation at the polls. But fundamentally, the concern is that somebody's going to take an action to interfere with the ability of a different person to exercise that right to vote. And what we encourage folks to do is, if they see that kind of conduct, if somebody's, for example, walking around near a polling place with a firearm in a way that's trying to intimidate people, or they've got a video camera and they're closely following people around as they're walking near the polling place, or anything else that might make folks feel intimidated or feel uncomfortable exercising their right to vote, we want to encourage people to report that. And the starting place for that is, first of all, the chief election official at the polling place. Wisconsin law gives them a lot of authority to make sure that order is maintained so that our elections are able to be conducted without unnecessary interference. They can do things like order people out of polling places. Another option is to contact local law enforcement. At DOJ, we work to make sure that local law enforcement and prosecutors have resources that they need, including information about what the election laws are, so they can respond if there's a concern that arises. Now, we also work closely with the Wisconsin Election Commission. They receive information from polling places around the state, and they're prepared to respond and to work with us as appropriate if there is an issue that arises. Again, it's our hope that there won't be issues, and I'm confident that almost everywhere in Wisconsin, we're going to have a very smooth process. But we also want to be prepared in case an issue does arise, and this is part of how we go about doing that.
So, in terms of at the state level, do you rely on your the Wisconsin State Intelligence Center folks, the Division of Criminal Investigation, to oversee this, or how is that set up at the state level?
We have a few things we do in our office. We've got a few people who are sort of points of contact. So it could be any number of people who report a concern to us. It could be a local law enforcement agency or a prosecutor. It could be a group that's out there doing doing election protection in one way or the other. It could be that we hear from the Wisconsin Election Commission that they're hearing about an issue that arises. But we have both attorneys and investigators who are on election day ready to respond if there's an issue that arises. So, for example, if there's a need to bring some sort of legal action, we have attorneys who are ready to do that. And if there's a need for investigation, we have investigators who are prepared to respond. A lot of what we do is working in concert with others to coordinate and make sure that the local law enforcement or prosecutors have the resources they need. That's where most issues that arise would be addressed. But we're also prepared to assist as needed, both on election day and certainly we will be in the aftermath as well.
The in terms of looking at the lessons learned from 2020, what kind of actions or unlawful acts showed up in 2020 or in between that sort of put folks on notice on what to look for?
Well, fortunately, we've had really smooth processes at the polls. In 2020, things generally went smoothly at the polls in Wisconsin. There was concern that they wouldn't, but ultimately, people were able to exercise their right to vote without interference consistently across the state. In 2022, we had something similar happen as well. Now, I will note, one thing that's really striking is in 2022, there were close elections in Wisconsin, just like there were in 2020, but you didn't see the kind of election denialism or challenges to the results that we saw in 2020. And I think we may see again in 2024. And I think that sort of gives away the game here. I think people know that our system works. That's why nobody was challenging the results in 2022. And so if there is a challenge, I certainly encourage people to view that with appropriate skepticism. But where we did see a lot of efforts to challenge results was in the aftermath of the election. So there were the lawsuits that were brought. There was the recount, which is totally appropriate. That's part of our process. Lawsuits are appropriate as well, and we defended against those. But of course, after the certification process happened in the state, there was there were the events that took place in Washington, D.C., culminating with what took place on January 6th with the insurrection. And so we're going to be prepared, as we were 4 years ago, for litigation. I think there could very well be legal challenges. And again, as I mentioned before, making sure that members of Congress are prepared to certify the results is key. Now, the one thing that has changed meaningfully, I think, is the threat profile with election officials. There have been more attempts to threaten election officials, and so we want to be prepared on that. That's why we put out the guidance. One thing we have not seen in Wisconsin, but has taken place in a few other states, are efforts to interfere with the certification process of the election. I have a lot of confidence in our municipal clerks in Wisconsin, and I don't think we're going to see that happen here. But if it does, first of all, you know, the clerks have a legal obligation to certify the results. And if they're violating their obligations, that's a really serious issue. But again, we would be prepared to take legal action and ensure that the process moves forward quickly if there is an attempt to interfere with the mechanics of getting the results certified.
The we have our state and our country really, really at each other, very, very divided. I mean, if you're watching TV, every other ad is, you know, attack, attack, attack. November 5th is going to pick a winner, but it's not going to solve the problem of the other side. Now, you're not on the ballot, so you're going to be here before and after the election. How do you see your role in continuity in addressing the division?
Well, first, I think it's critical after any election for people to come together. And that's part of what was so damaging about what took place in the aftermath of the 2020 election. We have a long history of people acknowledging the results of the election and bringing folks together. That didn't happen there. So hopefully it will happen in 2024. But regardless of what happens in the presidential race, I think it's critical that that elected officials and other people who are involved in the political process make clear to the public that at the end of the day, our system works, it can be relied upon. And fundamentally, we are all Americans. You know, we have a shared destiny, we have shared values and shared goals, and bringing people together through equal justice under the law and by working collaboratively is critical to the success of this country.
Thank you, Attorney General Josh Call. Thank you for helping keep us safe and secure. Elections forward, Wisconsin. Jump around.
The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. 17 days from Election Day, Vice President Kamala Harris visiting a Get Out the Vote event in Detroit.
We're going to go vote today. We're going to remind people to vote. We're going to register folks to vote. We're going to email, text, phone call, knock on doors.
She'll be in Atlanta later, while former President Trump campaigns in Latrobe, Pennsylvania. Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin told reporters at a G7 defense meeting in Italy the U.S. wants Israel to scale back strikes in Lebanon. He also noted a sharp decline in the amount of humanitarian aid entering Gaza. Meanwhile, Hezbollah launched drones from Lebanon into Israel. One of them targeted Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu's personal residence. He was not there, but called it an assassination attempt. And Boeing says the striking Boeing machinists say the latest offer is worth considering. They'll vote Wednesday. It could end the five-week strike. This is ABC News.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
It's the Packers and the Texans. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Packers host the Houston Texans, kickoff tomorrow at noon. I asked Packers quarterback Jordan Love about facing Houston's defensive line, led by Will Anderson and former Viking Danielle Hunter.
Yeah, no, they are definitely a very good defense. I think all around, you know, they got very good players everywhere. So I think it all starts up front. They got a really good D-line, some good edge rushers, and coverages, everything. I mean, in the back end is very good. Their DBs are good. Linebackers are good. So I think they're a solid team all around.
Love, of course, waited 3 years to play behind Aaron Rodgers. Texans quarterback C.J. Stroud was able to start his rookie year.
Maybe for Jordan, he wanted him to see the field and, you know, learn from Aaron and, you know, being able to just be a sponge and, you know, suck up just a lot of information. You know, I think it's just a testament to whoever's watching, like, who's trying to get to our positions. Is like, no matter what route you're in, or, like, you know, have to sit and wait a little bit. Like, my dad used to always tell me the cream rises to the top.
That's Texans quarterback C.J. Stroud. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
This is your hometown radio, Refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. For today, chance of showers with a high near 66. For tonight, partly cloudy, a low around 48. Sunday, sunshine and breezy with highs in the mid-70s. Sunday night, mostly clear, a low of 51. For Monday, mostly sunny and highs around 74.
It's 60 at our studios.
Cranberry juice, cranberry wine, cranberry brats, cranberry cream puffs. And excuse me, but my cranberry bread is ready. It's cranberry season in Wisconsin, and we're the cranberry capital of not just the U.S., but our farmers also produce more than half of the world's cranberry supply. So can you guess which state Wisconsin beat out to earn the number one spot? New Jersey? Washington State? Massachusetts? The answer coming up. Fall is harvest time, and you can see the machines rolling through the marshlands, which are flooded to help the cranberries float to the top. But it hasn't always been this easy. Back in the mid-1800s, the berries had to be picked by hand. It took another 100 years for the right equipment to be built to help with this harvest. Okay, so Wisconsin owns the cranberry capital title, but which state lost it to us? Massachusetts, which has been number two ever since. By the way, the cranberry is the official state fruit, making it a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
As a network, we're called Civic Media because a big part of it is we want to start modeling how civic discourse really should happen and being respectful of each other's opinions, even if you disagree, you know, like they should be given a platform.
If Rocker and I can get along, right, we can all get along.
I know,
along.
Exactly.
Right,
yeah.
Rocker?
Yeah, that's right, Jimmy.
Well, you do have a wall in between the two of you, so
glass.
It's like
it's only glass.
Tear down the walls. Listen to Max Inc. Saturday night, 6 to midnight, across the Civic Media Radio Network.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome Travel Wisconsin's Logan Rogie, who joins the show to discuss fall hotspots in our beautiful state. And we'll go back to the future with a discussion about Back to the Future.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Hello, folks. This is Attorney Mark Thompson. This is your Paul Revere Show. We are here every Saturday at 3 p.m. on Civic Media. Folks, I am honored and privileged to have Lieutenant Governor Sarah Rodriguez here with us. We are on the eve of a huge election, not only federally, but statewide. Thank you for being here, Lieutenant Governor. Hello again.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
So, you know, you're the Lieutenant Governor the day before the election. You're Lieutenant Governor the day after the election, because you and our Governor, Tony Earl, are... Tony, you hear that? Do you believe I said that?
Tony Evers.
Yes, yeah. I know. How's that, right?
It's okay.
That's a flashback.
I know, a flashback.
So please tell our governor that he reminded me of another governor. But here, you guys are going to be there before and after. And it's, you know, it's really, really divisive this time around. You've been all over the state. How do you sense the public sentiment, and, you know, what's it looking like going into this race?
So what I hear when I go all around the state is that people are really tired of the divisiveness. I hear that from Republicans. I hear that from Democrats. I hear that from independents. And this is why I'm hopeful that we are going to be able to turn the page and have Kamala Harris as our president, so that we do not go back to the chaos of Donald Trump for the last four, you know, for the next 4 years. I'm seeing really good signs all across, you know, the state. I live in Waukesha County, as you know, and we've had just record levels of volunteers for the Waukesha County Democratic Party, standing room only for many of those meetings. So this looks really good for the Democrats here in Wisconsin, but we know it's going to be a tight race. And I just think it's really important for everybody to have their voice be heard, to vote for who represents your values. And, you know, for me, that's the Harris-Walz ticket.
You're out there at the street level talking to voters, even though your name's not on the ballot. What are the number one, number two, number three concerns of voters? And, you know, what's going to be the issue that flips this thing one way or the other?
So it does kind of depend on who you're talking to. When I talk to women, reproductive choice is something that comes up over and over again. That is something that is motivating for women in this state to go and vote and make sure that they can restore their reproductive rights. So that comes up quite a bit, particularly among young people as well. The economy is another area where I think folks, families in particular, are wanting to make sure that the economy continues to grow. We've had in Wisconsin record-breaking unemployment rates, the number of people working. We want to see that continue for the next 4 years. And these are some of the policies that we've been able to get from the Biden-Harris administration. And that is what I'm hearing, that they want to make sure that they can, you know, send their kids to school, that they can afford childcare, that they're able to, you know, make their budget with the groceries. And Harris and Walz have a plan to be able to do that, to be able to support families. And all we're kind of seeing out of Donald Trump is, you know, more tax cuts for his millionaire and billionaire friends.
I think it's really his billionaire friends.
Yeah, that, I mean, probably.
No, I mean, if you really look at where he's talking and who he's hanging around with, it's the billionaires that are really, really, really being protected here, and union workers and working families being ignored. I wanted to go back and talk a little bit in more detail about reproductive rights, mm-hmm. and the whole. Dobbs reversal of Roe. How is that playing out with healthcare providers, though, too? I mean, this is issue just not just for women. It's impacting doctors and health providers across the state. How is that impacting the election?
Yeah, as you know, Mark, I'm a nurse by background and by training. And so I continue to have a lot of friends and old colleagues who practice clinically. And it has been a huge issue in the state of Wisconsin. we originally, after the Dobbs decision came down, we had that 1849 abortion law that was a criminal abortion ban, no exceptions for rape or incest, that two physicians needed to certify that the woman's life was at risk, not even her health, but life was at risk. You know, we were able to restore reproductive rights here in Wisconsin. However, if you look at Project 2025 and some of the things that ex-President Trump has said, they're looking to do a national abortion ban, and that would mean that no state is safe. And when I talk to providers about that, they know how dangerous this is. We have heard horrifying stories come out of our state, other states, about how women could not get the care that they needed, and some of them died. And what's going to happen, particularly if it ends up being just left up to the states, we already have a shortage of OBGYNs in the state of Wisconsin. We're going to be looking at additional shortages across the state. People are not going to want to train here because they don't want to risk their license. They don't want to risk their livelihood to come to a place where they can't, you know, fully do what they need to do to protect their patients. I mean, that's what we're hearing about.
So I'm glad you reminded everyone that you are from Waukesha. So, you know, that is sort of the heartland of Wisconsin, which is the heartland, right? So what Waukesha does and doesn't do on November 5th is going to tell a lot for the whole statewide election.
It will, honestly.
Yeah. Do you sense that women in Waukesha County are going to be coming out for Harris Walz?
I do. And I will tell you a story. So my mom, she's going to be turning 80 pretty soon. And she and many of her friends, she was a longtime Republican, right? So I may have turned her over to voting for Democrats because, of course, you know, we talk about it all the time. So now she votes for Democrats. But many of her friends, her contemporaries around her same age, have traditionally voted Republican. But they saw what it was like pre-Roe. So they had their children, many of them pre-Roe or right around that time when Roe was passed. So they know what it was like when they did not have those protections. And they saw that those years where they were going to be able to have, you know, protections for reproductive rights. So this is personal for them. And I have talked to a multitude of folks, women who are older, who saw what happened, pre-Roe, and don't want to go back to that. And I think there's going to be folks who, in the privacy of their voting booth, even if they've traditionally voted for Republicans in the past, are going to be voting for Democrats this cycle because of that. Because we have to be able to protect the rights of our kids, our grandkids, to make sure that they're going to be able to get the health care that they need. It is very scary to me as a clinician that providers will not be able to do what they need to do, that we are going to see more women die like we saw in Georgia, that those women who came out when they did their maternal mortality review, they died because they could not get the care that they needed in Georgia because of their abortion ban.
So as you go around the state, how do the issues move folks, right? I mean, is there a difference in terms of what's impacting the Valley, up in Green Bay, up Eau Claire North, you know, along La Crosse, Mississippi? You know, I mean, what do you sense?
So I think there are some things that are universal across the state of Wisconsin, but then regionally, I do believe that there are some differences. Universally across the state, I am hearing about reproductive rights. Universally across the state, I'm hearing about the economy and whether that's housing prices or childcare. Those are two things that come up quite consistently and wanting to have real responsible plans for that, but also fully funding our public schools. This is something that when I talk to all across the state of Wisconsin, this is really important to people. When you get to more rural areas, what I am hearing about is making sure that there are markets for our farmers, that there were some real issues that we had on the federal side to make sure that they are able to have markets that they can send their goods to, that water quality is good. We've got a PFAS issue here in Wisconsin, and farmers know what that looks like. Lastly is internet access. So if you're looking all across the state of Wisconsin, the Biden-Harris administration has really put investment into making sure that our rural areas have internet access. And the policies of Governor Evers and myself have pushed those dollars out to those communities. So we are working on to make sure that everybody has access. So depending on where you are, there's some subtle differences in what people are really interested in and want to talk about. But the reality is that there are some universal concerns with this election.
How do you see the race for the Senate and our Senator Tammy Baldwin's chances? What's the sense?
So for me, we are just such a purple state. It is going to be close. I don't want to sugarcoat it. People are going to have to get out to vote. They are going to have to talk to their friends. If they want to make sure that Tammy Baldwin, who has been an amazing friend to farmers and manufacturers across the state of Wisconsin, if we want to keep her in our state, making sure she's advocating for us, people are going to have to get out and vote for her. It is going to be tight. There's a ton of money being poured into the state to try to have Eric Hovde win this race. He's parachuting in from California. He's a billionaire parachuting in from California with his own money. I want somebody who has a good investment in this state and wants to see us thrive, and that is Tammy Baldwin.
Historically, Tammy has been out there fighting for working folks, family farmers, fighting for unions. And What is her opponents, what are people being attracted to? Why would they like a billionaire from California coming in?
I don't know. You're going to have to ask them. But the only thing that I can hear is he's parroting Trump's talking points, right? So he's talking about, banning abortion. He's talking about all of these, cultural issues that are not on the top of people's list. Right, of what they really want to do to make sure that they can take care of their families. I just think that we have to keep our eyes on the prize. And what do we want for our families here in Wisconsin? What do we want to see us going forward? Do we want to continue the pathway that we're on, where we have low unemployment, where we have the most people working, where we have a plan for housing, a plan for childcare? Or do we want to go back and just do tax cuts for billionaires? I mean, I know what I want to do. I want to make sure that working families, like the one that I grew up in and the one I am now, is able to provide for their families. And so that's why I want to make sure that we are going up and down the ballot. It is so important. The state assembly and state senate races are so important in Wisconsin. We finally have fair maps. We are a purple state. And for 14 years, we have had a gerrymandered state where the governor and I won with about 3 percentage points. Yet we currently, under the old maps, have a supermajority of Republicans in the Senate, and almost a supermajority of Republicans in the Assembly. These new maps are going to make us more purple, exactly how we're represented today. And I have to tell you, again, I live in Waukesha County. I have the privilege of speaking to Republicans on a regular basis. I may even have family members that have voted Republican in the past. They want us to be well represented in the state of Wisconsin and make sure that our assembly and our Senate reflects what we want within the state. And it currently doesn't today.
Folks,
so these down ballot races are so important.
Folks, Lieutenant Governor Sarah Rodriguez, we're talking about how to keep Wisconsin moving forward, and we are talking about what we need to do before November 5th, 2024. Back with our Lieutenant Governor momentarily.
You're listening to The Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Up North News Radio.
This is the story of the one. As a warehouse manager, her job is to transform chaos into clarity and to see patterns where others see problems. Luckily, she's got a partner who shares her perspective. Grainger offers over 1 million industrial-grade products,
backed by real person support and in-depth online resources, so she can tackle every task with precision and turn potential setbacks into streamlined success. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
The Todd Alba Show.
Minority Rule. The author is Ari Berman.
If you look back at Wisconsin history, it gave rise to Social Security and unemployment insurance and collective bargaining. It really personified the idea that no matter what political party you were with, government should work for the common good. And Walker had a very different idea, that government should work for this conservative elite instead.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2, on your local civic media radio station and on the app. This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Hello, this is Attorney Mark Thompson. This is your Paul Revere Show. Folks, Lieutenant Governor Sarah Rodriguez is with us today. Thanks so much again, Lieutenant Governor. You know, we're talking about that we have new maps and that there is a hope in the air that we can have a purple state actually look purple in Madison and, you know, maybe get some legislation passed. And, you know, there's surpluses sitting around that haven't been sent back to the people, you know.
Right.
I know you and the governor wanted to get the money back out to the people, but we're tied up there. So one thing I wanted to touch on before we jump back into the state issue, you know, we have so many farms and family farms that rely on immigrant labor to milk cows. And, you know, we had this bill that Democrats had in Congress, and Biden was ready to sign it if the Senate would have passed it. That, I mean, Trump killed it. That really would have addressed immigration reform in a way that would have moved things forward. As you go around the state, especially in farm country where people rely on immigrants to milk the cows, what are you hearing out there?
It's just not top of mind for them, right? So this is not something that they put as number one on their list of why they're voting a certain way. It's really about making sure that their rights are respected, making sure that they can take care of their families financially, making sure that there are good access to either schools or broadband within the area. And farmers understand that a lot of their labor, you know, comes from immigrant labor. And so they know that these folks are hardworking people who keep these farms afloat. And they don't see them as the awful rhetoric that we're hearing out of the Trump campaign. You also know as well, my husband is an immigrant from Mexico. You know, it's personal for me when I hear this really vile, very violent rhetoric coming out of the Trump campaign about immigrants. It's scary to me, for my family, and it's something that really shouldn't be tolerated within the political discourse.
Well, thank you for that. I mean, it's to me, it's always really, you know, a mystery how, I mean, I go by and I see some big Trump signs on farms and I know that they're milking cows and I go, you know, you wouldn't be milking any cows if Trump got elected and he had the army come in and, you know, arrest everybody that doesn't look white like me. I mean, you know, it's like a very, very unhealthy. So here, what are young people saying as you go around the state?
Yeah, so it is interesting. So if you talk to younger folks, they are politically active. And I know they don't vote in the same percentages that perhaps older folks vote, but they are really interested in making a difference within their community. Again, reproductive rights, I've said this before, this is top of mind for young people. It's something that is really motivating them. The one that I hear a lot from individuals is the environment, that they're going to have to live in the world that we leave them. And they want to make sure that we are taking care of our environment, that these, you know, that these storms that you're seeing in Florida, that you're seeing in North Carolina, that's real to them. Climate change is real to them. And so trying to make sure that we are addressing those issues is a top priority for younger people as well. They're going to want to have families. They want to leave their children in a place that's habitable. And we need to make sure that we're addressing those concerns as well.
You know, it seems to me that folks on our college campuses, and we've, I mean, you know, UW's got a lot of campuses. Do you see the level ticking up there? Do you see people participating?
We do. The last election we had, I would tell you that many of our campuses had lines around the corner with students voting. We have really fantastic organizers on each of the campuses trying to make sure that people know how to vote, how to register to vote, how to make sure that their vote is counted. And we are seeing, you know, record-breaking voting participation. We still want more. We want every single person to use their voice. And we just need to make it easier for students to be able to vote. They shouldn't have to wait in hours in line to be able to vote. This is a right that we have. It is a right to vote, and it is a responsibility as citizens of the state of Wisconsin and United States citizens. And so we need to make sure that we are addressing any barriers there are to voting as well.
So as you go around the state, what are you telling folks they should be doing?
Well, I'm telling them they should talk to their neighbors, talk about how important this election is, make sure that they're having those difficult conversations. If they're interested in volunteering, connect with their county party, because we will put you on the doors and make sure that you can knock on doors and talk to people. Connect with candidates. You know, look at what they have out there. What are their values? Do those values align with your own? What do you want to see for the future? And so making sure that you are participating within this democracy, that it is very, very important that you vote in this election and every other election after this, not just the big ones, right? The big presidential ones. But I just talked about the state assembly, that their state assembly folks are up every 2 years. They're not always on a presidential election. We need to make sure we're voting for people who represent us here in Wisconsin, too.
You know, the you and Governor Evers are there and have been the protector of the public in this gerrymandered time. Where are where should the focus be in terms of the assembly and the Senate? If you're telling people where to get busy, where should they get busy?
So we are running candidates in 97 out of 99 assembly districts, right? And we are
That's new.
We have never done that before. And that is because we have fair maps right now. We have an opportunity to have our assembly and our Senate look purple. And this should be something that Democrats and Republicans should be concerned about. Because, and I say this all the time, when you have deep red and deep blue districts, the only thing you're worried about is a primary from your right or your left. And there is a disincentive to work across the aisle. Now that we're going to have purple districts, there's going to be incentive to work across the aisle. We're going to be able to get stuff done.
Folks,
and so making sure that you are able to be able to do that, I think, is going to be really exciting.
Thank you, Lieutenant Governor Sarah Rodriguez. Register to vote. Vote and vote blue down the ballot, folks. November 5th, 2024. Let's go, Wisconsin.
Thank you.
Thank you.
As you live and breathe.
You're listening to WBZH, Hayward's home for the Todd Allball Show.
Todd Allball.
Hey, everybody, join us next time. We'll look back at the weekend's news, get you up to date, and mark early voting in person starting on Tuesday. Be with us.
The Todd Allball Show, weekdays noon till 2. The Dom Salvia Show.
And I heard the scientists say the other day that when a man votes for a woman, he actually transitions into a woman.
When a woman votes for a man?
Turns into a man.
Well, that's okay, though.
That's fine.
Yeah, because then she gets control of her body.
Oh.
See what I did there?
Yeah.
The Dom Salvia Show. Weekdays from 4 till 6 on the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram. This is the Buzz of the North.
WBZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.